Today's featured guest, Jeffrey Nichols from Roslyn Capital. Welcome back, Jeffrey Nichols.
It's nice to be here, Chris.
Start off today with just what's on your radar screen. Any topicality?
Right now, I think I'm looking at gold and feeling relatively encouraged that we're in a sustainable uptrend and that we've seen the lows of the cycle, and the next few years are going to be a very positive time for gold investors, with prices rising to new heights, perhaps even by the end of the year, and certainly in the next few years. It's been a difficult time for gold bulls, certainly.
No, I think it's well said, and it's time for a stampede here. So let's hope.
I think we could see one. But the important thing in terms of looking at the last few years, we always advocate that investors hold a minimal core holding in physical gold, bullion coins or small bars, as an insurance policy and as a hedge against the risks that are inherent in more conventional equity and fixed income investments. And so when you hold some gold for that reason, you really, in a sense, don't want to see it increase in price, because that would be an indicator that we've got more serious problems in the economy. And that's not something that we should be happy to see. Although, at times, you do want to hold more than the 5 to 10%. And I think we're entering a period like that right now.
It's a bit bifurcated, because on the one hand, it really doesn't matter whether you're in a period of inflation or deflation. It just happens to be an important component of every portfolio. I think it benefits from almost any situation, and I think that's what you're alluding to. But increasing exposure, the type of comments one would expect from someone who sees dangerous financial and economic conditions on the horizon.
We're certainly in treacherous territory. You know, the world economy is, in a sense, walking on a knife edge. Globally, economic activity is still decreasing in China, in India, in Africa, in Latin America. Economies are all under pressure, and stock markets around the world are in retreat. And here in the United States, it's questionable, despite the Fed's, the Federal Reserve's actions to raise interest rates a month ago, it's possible we're back in a declining or weakening economic situation, and the Fed is going to find itself having to take heroic action to prevent the economy from sliding into renewed recession or worse.
You talk about the economic situation on a knife's edge.
I would say you should be holding some gold, and the amount that any investor decides to hold should be a function of their exposure to the risks inherent in other investment assets. So if you've got a sizable portion of your wealth tied up in equities or fixed income instruments, I think that the argument for holding gold becomes stronger and stronger. Investors around the world seem always to be a step or two ahead of the United States. And on a global basis, we see very strong demand for gold. And gold, importantly, is in the last year, or even the last few years, while the price has been coming down, there's been a transfer in the ownership of gold from west to east, from the old industrial world to the young, newly industrialized economies led by China and India. But the people who are buying in these countries outside the U.S. are long-term holders. Gold is moving into strong hands and is held by people who are unlikely to sell anytime soon. You know, they're accumulating for the long run. And for many of these people, the long run is measured in generations, not in months or years. So in addition, we have central banks, again, from China but also Russia and a bunch of smaller economies, decides it wants to be buying more gold, there's going to be a shortage of available supply. And I would underline the word available. So response in price is likely to be far quicker and far greater in magnitude than most people would imagine possible for the next couple of years. And looking at the other side of the equation, while gold has been going to Asia and the East, if you will, it's being sold in the West mostly by institutional speculators, bullion dealers and bullion bankers, commodity funds and hedge funds, who have no vested interest in gold per se. They just see it as one of a long list of possible markets for speculation or investment. And when their views of markets change, which I think is happening now, when their views of markets and value change, they're going to become pro-gold once again after many years of being sort of on the short side of the gold market, if you will. And they're going to start buying as well, a reversal from the last few years when institutional speculators have been sellers. And we've seen it even in the last few weeks in terms of the renewed inflow of bullion into gold ETFs, whereas in the last few years, ETFs have been a source of selling. Now they're becoming once again an avenue of demand. And that, too, is going to put pressure on the price as it continues and as the shortage of physical gold becomes more apparent.
You know, I debated for, it seemed like for years, with many of our top guests who just said they can't raise rates. It won't happen. You know, the Fed funds futures are demanding higher rates. We will see higher. No, they can't. Eventually, most of our guests have capitulated. And of course, that can be a downdraft for the precious metals.
Well, I think, first of all, there's a very widespread misconception about how gold behaves during periods of rising interest rates. The historical evidence suggests that, contrary to that viewpoint, gold has risen and is likely to rise as interest rates go up. We saw that in the 1970s when gold went from $35 an ounce to briefly just over $800 an ounce in 1980. And we've seen it again during recent years of gold price appreciation. It's also been occurring with the Fed in a tightening mode and interest rates rising. So I don't buy the argument that if the Fed tries to tighten a little bit, that it's going to hurt the gold price. I think, in fact, quite the opposite. The reason the Fed might try and raise rates further is because the economy, in their view, seems to be strengthening. But when I look at the economy, I don't see it strengthening. I see it weakening and vulnerable to further setbacks. And that suggests to me that, in contrast to expectations of rising interest rates, which in any event wouldn't destroy a gold bull market, I think interest rates could very well come down back to zero or into negative territory, or we could see some newfangled policy instruments that might, with the hope of stimulating the economy from the Fed's point of view, maybe another round of quantitative easing or something we haven't yet seen, some new instrument or method of stimulating through monetary policy. I think we're more likely to see that then we are likely to see rising interest rates. When it becomes apparent that the Fed, in a sense, has used its last policy tools and is still facing a weakening economy, I think that is going to be very positive for gold. You know, in the 1930s, now this is a long time back to be making an illustration, but Nevertheless, in the 1930s, gold prices were hiked by the central bank under President Franklin Roosevelt as a stimulative measure. We could see something like that again, where the Fed, in fact, pushes gold prices higher as part of an effort to stimulate the economy.
1970s, higher rates, much higher gold prices, despite naysayers, as well as Barsky and Summers, you know, seminal paper, which highlighted the importance of negative real interest rates underlying the precious metals.
Importantly, it's real interest rates that really matter. And honestly, who knows where real interest rates are, because the inflation statistics are so undependable or unreliable. I think inflation is probably significantly higher than the statistics would indicate. We're in a sense in treacherous waters, and the ship of state is going one way or the other in some unpredictable fashion. As I said, I think the consumer price index and other price indicators are not really true signals of what's happening to prices in the marketplace. You know, any housewife who goes to the grocery store knows that prices have been rising over the last few years, whereas the statistics suggest just the opposite. And here, as an aside, let me just say, I recently had some problems with my cable TV and internet service. And I recall a few years ago, if you called the cable company, they'd send over a technician to find out what was wrong and fix it. Now, you're lucky if you can get somebody on the phone, and you're spending your own time dealing with the problem, maybe over the phone with a technical support person. But it's equivalent to a price increase when you're spending your own time rather than the vendor spending his time dealing with problems of one sort or the other. Gold is going to go up anyway when sentiment in the markets change a bit, because a shortage of supply in the face of rising demand is going to push prices up. We have to remember that the gold market, the physical market, is increasingly under the sway of Asia, and not of the United States, not of Western Europe, but China and its satellite countries in Southeast Asia. And their interest in buying gold is for reasons much different than we in the West buy or hold or do whatever we do with gold. They're buying it, as I said before, for the long term. They're buying it for because of cultural, religious reasons, and they feel comfortable holding gold much more so than they would feel about owning equities or real estate. Those markets have gone through the ringer already in China, and they're still overinflated. They're still in a bubble situation. And this is only going to feed demand from the average consumer, the average household, the average investor at the retail level in China and elsewhere in Asia. And when that demand continues and the supply from the West, from the U.S. and Western Europe diminish, we're going to have higher prices. Whatever happens to interest rates in the United States, whatever happens to inflation in the Western world, those may be icing on the cake if they're supportive of gold prices, but it's not necessary for us to see gold at new heights in the next few years.
With that type of subterfuge, with this type of covert operations all over the developed and developing world, you know, you don't have to have this Weimar-like currency disruption or global conflict. You have this contrarian play.
You don't have to be bearish on some of these economic factors, interest rates, inflation, growth. They may be pro-gold, and I think to some extent they will be, but they're not likely to prevent gold from going higher in any event. I think it's sort of whether it's nighttime or daytime, we're going to see the path to higher prices, whatever happens in the economy. The world is a very uncertain place, and as we've seen in recent years, subject to sort of what's called black swan events, you know, bolts from the blue, things that are unpredicted, haven't been predicted, maybe unpredictable, but they come out of the blue, and those are the things that could send gold higher.
And we're saying we're accepting the fact that we're not sure, but we can't fill in all the blanks yet. So we don't want to leave ourselves exposed. And again, it brings me back to safety net for your portfolio.
I think, importantly, gold is a win-win in the sense that whatever happens, gold prices today are undervalued and they will go higher in the next few years by more than most analysts would dare guess or predict. We're very bullish on gold simply because the supply is in strong hands and insufficient to meet likely demand in the next few years.
Your work seems to imply that that correction is nearing its end. Do you then anticipate the yellow metal to eclipse its 1900 peak from 2010?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. I think that that could go, if not by the end of this year, certainly next year. And that will be not the end of the bull market in gold, but just a stopping point as we go to much higher prices in the next several years. I wouldn't be surprised to see gold 3 or 4 or 5 6 7 years from now at 3,000, 4,000, maybe even $5,000 an ounce. You know, when you get a market reflecting sentiment, it has the possibility of going far beyond where the fundamentals and the reasonable analysis would suggest. So at some point, I think we're going to see exactly that, an inflow into gold in a sense that is beyond justification, that's going to bring us to very, very high prices. The secret for investors will be, you know, is it time to take profits on some of our holdings? And that's the sort of thing that investors have to be thinking about, but not for several years. I mean, the Dow is now around 16,000, if I got it right. That's maybe far above where gold is likely to go. And I think gold investors would be happy and rejoicing if we just hit 4,000 or even 3,000. So I think those are more reasonable targets in a period of a blow-off. It could go much higher, but I don't think 16,000 is in the cards. Not in our lifetimes, anyway.
Very good. So you're not looking for a wholesale destruction, for a reset?
I think we're going to muddle through somehow. I mean, we always have, and there could be difficult times ahead, particularly if you're one of the people who have lost a lot of money in stocks or in real estate. Those are markets that have done well in the last few years. Some would say they're in a bubble. But when the bubble bursts, you know, it can go the other way very quickly.
Tell folks more, please, about the services you provide and any contact information you'd like to leave with the listening audience today.
Well, I would suggest that, first of all, listeners who are interested in expanding their gold positions or initiating gold positions be in touch with Roslyn Capital directly. I also, apart from my relationship with Roslyn, consult with a number of major players in the world of gold, funds, central banks, mints, mining companies, and the like. So those services are not something that would necessarily be of interest to your listeners and customers. But they can also follow my thinking on my website, which is nicholsongold.com, getting up to date reading on my thinking about the marketplace and where gold is going.
Jeffrey Nichols. We want to thank you for your time and look forward to having you back here on GoldSeek.com Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure and a lot of fun talking with you.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.